This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, find a weird SNL sketch.
Hello.
Hello. Max looks very cold.
I'm cold. But I'm, you know what I'm cold from is doing all this journalism that we've done. It's fucking Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman on the ones and twos coming at you from Dubai Friday.
Behind the wheels of truth.
I think that I'm Carl Bernstein, but I also want to be Robert Redford.
That's fine.
If I have my pick, you know?
Alex, you could be Ben Bradley. Put your feet up on the desk. Why did you send a picture of Julia Roberts to the thread? What was that?
She's also a great investigator. That's all.
What was that? Not Silkwood. What was that? The PG&E one?
No.
Erin Brockovich.
Yes.
Erin Brockovich.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's favorite Academy Award winning film, Erin Brockovich.
I think your AI needs more training, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So you wanna start with the journalism?
No, I'm so excited about it. This is the best. There were a couple of things that happened this week that just made me so happy for this like cool little Dubai Friday world, and this was one of them.
Yeah,
it made me very happy.
We don't deserve it. We have really good listeners. Yeah.
I also went to this weekend. I went to Columbus, Ohio, to visit the Billy Ireland Cartoon Museum. And that's awesome. If you're anywhere in the Midwest or the Columbus area, definitely figure out some way to get a tour of that Billy Ireland Cartoon Museum. And then when I went down there, I had a little project I was doing with them. I couldn't get a hotel, and I was like, "Why would I not be able to get a hotel in Columbus, Ohio, in January during a blizzard? Like, why? What is up with this?" And then one of the hotels was like, "We are like completely sold out for like Magifest registrations," and I was like,
"Oh my god!"
Stop right there. What's this? And there's a huge magic festival called Magifest, and it's in Columbus. And so I just went. It was the same weekend I was there. So I wormed my way into this conference, and it was awesome. I got to hang out with all these like famous magicians, and I took a workshop with Juan Tamariz, who's like the greatest, maybe the greatest living magician. It was amazing. And while I was there, I met through Twitter and just people saying hi, a number of Dubai Friday listeners at the Magic Fest convention. So thank you to everyone who said hi to me.
That's good serendipity. Well, did you learn any new tricks? Effects?
I did learn some.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was walking down the street Sunday. I actually took a photo. I haven't sent it to you. And there was a two of hearts just sitting on the street.
That's one of the tricks I learned.
I know. I shat myself. I hate it so much. I hate it.
Did we talk? I can't remember. Did we talk? I was in a fugue state last week. Did we talk about the MAGA teen?
Nope. That happened on Saturday. Sunday?
So it hadn't happened yet?
It had not happened yet.
Alex, you went to a Catholic school.
I guess we're going to go there.
Are we doing this?
I just have some questions.
Bring it on.
Okay, here we go. Anybody else got an anecdote?
So according to all the replies on my Twitter, just wearing blackface to sporting events was like a big part of going to Catholic school.
Yes,
and it's just something I don't understand.
It's just a tradition. It's just something that you wouldn't understand. It was just taken out of context, you know? Our racially insensitive costumes at all.
If you watch the whole video, they're also playing banjos.
Yeah.
It's very culturally sensitive.
Yeah, we really just like to leer at people silently as a number of our friends chant in the background against marginalized people. It's just a thing that we do. People don't understand. I was very upset.
The video, I'm avoiding this story like the plague. It's just poison. It's poison.
Do you want me to explain it to you? I can walk you through all the beats.
Yeah. What's going on with that video? What's happening? We got a take? Give me a take on the video. I was just going to say that the video that, I hate this. That the girls posted of being taunted by the same boys that said, it's not rape if you enjoy it.
Right.
It's an interesting... exculpatory piece of evidence? I don't know.
Right. And another video by another girl who walked by and got yelled at by them. I think it's obvious. I think there's not even a... I guess the story to me is just in people's like reactions to it, because it's like, You know what's interesting is like, so when Trump got elected, I still am reading fascism books, but I spent like 2 years reading fascism books, I haven't read a fiction book in years. I can't make my brain do it. And I have a whole bookshelf full of Nazi books now. And all I started reading was like all the Hannah Arendt like Nazi books and Sartre and I don't know, just all these books about like fascism. And I literally have a whole like I just had to move them when we organized the library because Veronica was like, your Nazi books are becoming pretty conspicuous in the living room. Like when you, and like a lot of them have like swastikas.
Did you decide to concentrate them?
Yeah. I isolated them. Mm-hmm. I created some sort of concentrated encampment.
It's like a containment area where you could wall them in.
Yeah.
Right. They got to share housing with other books.
So one of the things that...
Call it Warsaw.
Is in all of these fascism books is like what was... One of the things that they say is like it was so surreal like being alive in the 30s and the 40s in Europe as in the rise of fascism was like... These things would happen like right in front of your eyes that were just plain. Like mm-hmm. It was just, you could just look at it and be like, I see exactly what's happening here. And yet the sort of social delusion of it all was such that people would pretend that it was otherwise. And mm-hmm. and they would be the powerful people. So then that's how it was. And there was a lot of writing about like, keep a journal so that you can write down when this stuff happens, because otherwise you will doubt your own sanity whenever mm-hmm. when something plainly happens and then everyone says otherwise. And that's what happened here, right? Like mm-hmm. these kids were making fun of this old Native American man, and there was a lot of protests on the Hill, and there was like the Black Israelites were there and they were also yelling or whatever. But from that video, like it was just so obvious what happened. And you know what came out what's come out over this week is like that MAGA teen who is staring at the guy with just the most, that kid is just evil. Mm-hmm. Like that is an evil. I know that look. Like I've been looked at like that. Of like mm-hmm. you can't touch me. Do you know what
yes.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It really upset me.
But it's not. That's what makes it. I don't love the word evil, but that's the thing with a young person that you can recognize when you get a little bit older. Is a combination of, I don't know, you could call it evil if you want, but it's also a kind of confidence born of ignorance and of never having to face consequences too often. Like that kid's never had his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And so he's growing up in, and I, you know, basically the Cincinnati airport is in Covington. So I know this kid. I mean, I don't know him in particular, but I was raised in Cincinnati and I know my family. And I know what was just normal to say and do in that area. I can't speak for Covington directly, but, you know, I feel like I've known this kid. And he's never had his ass kicked, and he's never had any reason, one imagines, to have to not interpolate. He's never had a need to situate himself amongst other people and see what's really going on. Nobody, very few people, I'm guessing, very few people in power that he's encountered have ever disabused him of thoughts and feelings and unintentional, unacknowledged cultural forces that lead you to be a kid who could go and do that and think it's okay.
I kind of disagree with that, because it's that look on his face that he knows it's not okay, and it's not just that he's never been beaten up. He knows that he's protected. He knows he won't be beaten up. He knows that this is going to get him more credit in the long run.
I don't think that's contradictory with what I was saying. But he's never had reason to believe there's any consequences for being that confident and ignorant at the same time, because it's what it aligns, one imagines. I can't speak for him, but one imagines that aligns with not just his friends around him, but his folks and the people at his school and the people at his parish. Like, there's something about what he's doing that doesn't feel wrong to him.
On someone on the Supreme Court who has done exactly the same thing as he and his friends probably will do, and everything was fine. Like,
I'm not excusing him. I'm just saying, like, I got friends in their 30s that have never had their ass kicked, and I'm not talking about being physically hit and beaten in a fight. I'm talking about the confidence you have of never having a colossal failure that forces you to look at how you have situated yourself in the world. You're allowed to just roll along feeling that everything is just fine. I'm avoiding the P word here, but that's what we're talking about. He rolls along through life feeling just fine because nobody's taking him down a peg for it. My example I've given before, and I know this is an old one, but this is really true. I was raised in Cincinnati until I was 12. Then I moved to Central Florida. And then when I got my job, I moved to Tallahassee, which might as well be Georgia. And I had this realization. Then, of course, I moved to San Francisco. And I had this realization that curled my hair. I had never been, I can tell you, this is dead fucking honest. I had never in my then over 30 years of life on this planet been around a lot of powerful, competent black people in positions of power. I'm just being dead honest. I had not seen it. All the black people in Tallahassee mostly live in an area called Newtown, which might as well be a ghetto, and they were treated terribly. I was, even me, 30, thinking I was pretty fucking woke. It wasn't until I moved to the Bay Area that I was like, no, there's all kinds of different kinds of people in positions of power, because that same, it's not okay to be like that. You're going to have to go get your mind right when your boss is a black lady who went to Harvard, and you're going to have to deal with that. And I'm guessing this kid has not encountered a lot of that. He has not been forced to confront what it means to behave in the way that he's behaving, and how not just embarrassing that will be to him someday, but like how farcical it is for an American to behave that way.
Well, what came out this week was like his mom is like a vice president at some sort of like financial services company. Like, I can't remember. Do you remember the company, Alex?
No.
It was one that I've heard of. I mean, yeah. She's a vice president at some big finance company or something. I can't remember. And they hired a high powered like PR and crisis communications team to deal with this. And that's where you started to get this narrative that was like fabricated by PR people. And I've worked in PR for almost my whole life, and I know PR bullshit like a good spin when I hear it. And the spin they came up with was really, I mean, credit where it's due. Like, they came up with a very good sort of bullshit PR angle, which is, oh, the full tape actually exonerates him because he was putting himself in between
right.
these two violent people. Now, that's not that. That's exactly what I'm talking about with this fascism stuff. It's obviously not what happened. Like, you know, it's like, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes, kind of a thing. But right. like, what it is like a permission structure for everyone to defend this kid. It's like mm-hmm. just enough mm-hmm. of a
yes, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Good PR is about, it's not about like telling the truth. It's about sort of giving people a permission structure to believe the things they already want to believe. And half the country wants to believe in this kid because they think what he did was awesome, which is, you know, staring down this American Indian guy, this protester who was like has an incredible story. Go look at that guy talk, by the way. He's got an crazy veteran, and he was at Standing mm-hmm. Rock. He's an incredible.
That's what PR does, though. I mean, you're the expert, not me, but it seems to me that a lot of what PR does, especially in crisis mode, is to find some way to, they wouldn't put it this way, but it seems like the first goal of PR is to minimize the one big story that's damaging. And then, in so doing, provide a kind of cover that lets you fall back to the thing that you already believe, if you're inclined to be on that person's side anyway. And you can see it today with Bryan Singer. You can see it with all of these different stories, where the main thing you want to do is get out there in a way that makes it less difficult for somebody who already kind of sides with you to continue to hold that position. And I think you do that by trying to minimize or mute or deflect from the big thing that everybody's talking about. And then once the big thing everybody's talking about goes away, if you're lucky, it gets a little easier to go back to normal.
Well, I thought it was also very obvious, like, you know, there's also this sort of human centipede of right-wing information. So basically what they do is, like, you know, whether it's this PR firm or whoever's trying to sort of put the counter-narrative out, they were like, well, the full video exonerates him. And then they also tried to make it a story about, like, a liberal rush to judgment, which is just mm-hmm. kryptonite to these, like, journalists and Twitter personalities and, you know, sort of people, because they're, like, they'll be the first people to fucking bend over backwards going, oh, I prejudged the MAGA team without having all the facts, even though I fucking looked at it with my own eyes and saw literally exactly what was going mm-hmm. on. But, you know, they start this stuff. They, like, put this information out, like, the full video exonerates him on, like, 4chan and the MAGA Reddit?
Not the Donald.
The Donald. Yeah, R the Donald. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah. And then that stuff gets picked up, like 4chan and the Donald gets picked up on Breitbart and InfoWars and like the very fringy sort of alt-right things. And then that gets onto like the slightly 1 degree more reputable right-wing source.
Yeah, it's like the graphic you retweeted. Like, there's a funnel for this, yes, that goes from the far, far, far of either side, but especially right, the right, to get sort of sanitized and yep, repackaged through whoever, yep, Rush Limbaugh or whatever it is.
That graphic is 2 years old, by the way. It could have been 10 years old. But then it gets into, like, the Daily Caller and the Gateway Pundit and these sort of, like, shitty, basically, they're like, what are they? They're like WordPress blogs pretending to be newspapers.
It's like it's money laundering for hate.
Yeah. And then it winds up on Drudge. And then once it's on Drudge, it can go on Fox News and, mm-hmm, and conservative talk radio. Mm-hmm. And then once it's on Fox News and conservative talk radio, it's sort of news. Like, then other news organizations are like, okay, now we have to report on this and whatever quotes are out there. Oh, that we have to say that we have to report on both sides of this. Like, it's such a crazy arbitrage of the news economy, but it's exactly what happened in Gamergate. It's exactly what happened during, mm-hmm, the 2016 election, and it's exactly what happens in all of these sort of minor cultural flare-ups, like that thing in Virginia or the Covington Catholic kids or whatever. And, mm-hmm, it's just sad seeing everyone fall. It's depressing seeing that everyone still falls for it. Like, we've learned nothing. Like, the media is no more well-equipped to deal with it. In my timeline, there were smart people that you and I know who were people, Apple people or whatever, who were fucking sent me 30 tweets who were getting into a back and forth. Usually, I wasn't arguing with them, but, like, my followers were or whatever, where they were like, you judge this kid and you're no better than the Nazis and you're this is 1984. What did he do? He did a they were like, one of the lines was like, what was, like, looking at someone the wrong way is like a crime from 1984 was like a stupid, like, talking point. And, like, who's the real Nazis here? And, like, suddenly it was like, wait a minute. No, I'm a Nazi for this kid is actually a Nazi. And all I'm observing is that that's what he is. I don't know. It's the whole thing sucks.
It's all gross, and it's necktie
Twitter.
And now he's
having hamburgers with the president.
I hope they aren't from Wendy's. Digga, journalism. You guys ready to bring the journos?
Yes.
Ready to get on necktie Twitter with me?
Yeah, what are we doing here? You want to set it up and then I'll read it? Is that the plan?
We could trade off a little bit. I've prepared some parts here where I'm trying to redact the specific details of our deep throat. We were in receipt from a dead drop that we won't tell you about. You cannot access. From a dead drop, we have received some insider information from
deep throat.
We need a better name. A person who has identified him or herself, we'll say himself, as a DC-based Cox's Cuck with working knowledge of White House logistics. This is a fan of the show. Thank you to our listener who heard us talking about the fast food incident at the White House with the Clemson Tigers team last week and was able to provide some color and detail to this event as a denizen of D.C., and B, someone with, as we said, White House logistics. This is just the beginning, but we're filling in some important details about what happened with Hamburgergate.
Breaking news. Breaking news live on CNN.
Moments ago.
We've got Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room.
You're in the Situation Room.
17 screens. 9 chyrons.
If it's Wednesday, it must be hamburgers.
Listen, so we were speculating. Did we talk about the hamburgers last week? I wasn't.
Well, I've been out there begging Dr. Mm-hmm. Don for some. My question was, if you look at that Washington Post wonderful graphic showing where all the food was laid out, I was like, what is there a chance that this stuff? Well, we know it's going to be gross. We know it's cold fast food. But I was just wondering, as a layperson, laity as you say, Alex, I was wondering about, like, is this deadly? Should I pick this? Should I skip the dipping sauce? If it were me, I mm-hmm. wouldn't touch a French fry that was 45 minutes old. You've got to be kidding me. And so we started asking about that. And then I think amongst ourselves, we were like, this seems really gross and bad. How long was it from acquiring this fast food? And I think we've all stipulated, Max, you said in particular, you'd rather have a fresh burger than some of the white tablecloth dining that you've had in your life. We all agree fast food can be great, but when it's old, it's not great.
No, it congeals.
Mm-hmm. It does. It settles.
You don't want it to congeal. You don't want, you know what happens is when the fibers from the bun become sort of one with the other ingredients such mm-hmm. that they can't be separated because it starts to emulsify.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
I mean, really, after the cheese is not melted anymore, that's the beginning of not good fast food.
Well, the worst thing to ever happen, probably to anyone ever in their mm-hmm. life, is when they pick up a 6-piece chicken McNugget and then you pick up 1 piece and then 5 are still attached.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like, oh, no. Because it was fresh and then they dried together. All like the grease has, oh, it's so
and,
bad.
An old chicken, a new chicken McNugget, one of the great, mm-hmm. I mean, put that on the fucking, you know, Voyager spacecraft and send it to the aliens so they can judge us by our works. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel mm-hmm. about the chicken.
Amen. Thank you.
That's probably one of the greatest achievements of mankind. But a cold chicken McNugget?
No.
Not good.
No.
Merlin, this is really, I want to say credit where credit's due. This is Merlin's scoop. You really, you know, you were really on this beat.
It's a version of access journalism, I have to be honest. So I had DM'd with this fella, and we were talking about what the intrigue. How did the food get there? What do we know? How old was it? And here's our message from the inside. There's a McDonald's about a block from the White House. That's likely pretty easy for some staffers to run across the street to pick up. Google Maps says there's a Burger King in the Pentagon, likely possibility. Otherwise, you have to go up to the Adams Morgan neighborhood where there's no parking, which is in traffic about 20 minutes back to the White House, or go elsewhere out to the Virginia burbs. There are 2 Domino's each within a 5 to 10 block radius, northeast and northwest of the White House. But the one that I find most fascinating is Wendy's.
There is no Wendy's close to the White House. The closest option is what we in D.C. refer to jokingly as, quote, the Dave Thomas Circle. It's a Wendy's in the middle of a triangle intersection of 2 major 6-lane diagonal roads. That Washington Post piece I linked to is a pretty fun deep dive on why it's so hellish. There's also a Wendy's way up in the Petworth neighborhood, which for a lot of reasons I think we can rule out. My office is a few blocks away from the Dave Thomas Circle, and there's a bar just east of the circle where my team gets drunk on occasion. And it's always a mess to get there and then figure out how to get home after. I hate it. Getting across D.C. east-west is rather difficult, since L'Enfant's original street grid, well, I didn't realize Deep Throat spoke so much French, didn't really account for modern car movements and evening rush hour suburban exodus traffic patterns. At the time of the hamburger event, the city would have been pretty gridlocked, and plus it was raining and nobody in D.C. knows how to fucking drive in the rain, especially Uber, Lyft, taxi drivers. And I would assume it would take easily half an hour to get from that Wendy's to the White House. 45 minutes is more realistic if New York Avenue was a mess. Metro is always an underfunded on-fire nightmare, so even if someone schlepped all the birders on a granny grocery cart in the rain, on the train, it's still 45 minutes, and they would have had to have changed trains to the busiest metro transfer station at the busiest time of evening rush.
Oh, God, it makes this so much worse.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, but here's what's occurring to me. I don't mean to interrupt this, but maybe that they sent the fucking presidential motorcade, you know, and it had the sirens, and they can stop traffic, and they had a police escort.
Right.
Listen, Deep Throat. Listen to me. This is fucking Wolf Blitzer here from Dubai Friday. Someone should look up if they spent taxpayer money to send the fucking motorcade, because then you wouldn't have to worry about traffic at all.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You really have a nose for this story.
Because I am like Trump, right? I can think like him. And if I'm Trump and I'm like, I'm hungry and I want my McNuggets and I want my sauce.
I have my nugs.
Fucking send that. And they're like, Mr. President, there's no way to get, it's going to take 45 minutes to get them back in traffic and they're going to congeal. And that's where Trump, I think he does have the kind of genius where he'd be like, send the motorcade.
Tremendous.
Well, but then, you know, me, Steve Bannon, steps in and he's still, wow, that's a weird reference. He still exists. I'm like, no, Mr. President, there are all those snowflakes out there who are going to notice that. I think they sent a police car, like one of the special or the Secret Service cars that it's not like pure. You can't tell it's a motorcade. You're just like, that's some county car.
But just think about, you're coordinating all of this. There are people running around doing all of this, like mm-hmm. on the day and date. And so they said, so add that half hour, 45 minute transit mess to whatever additional time those burgers were made and stacked and sitting in the Wendy's before pickup. Mm-hmm. The next section we're going to redact a little bit. Essentially, this is where our man on the inside gives us some technical details on how very good technical details on how he's able to establish basically a rough timeline of this. So now We're getting down to instances here. On hamburger night, the president was returning from an out-of-town event via Marine One. The pool cameras that normally stake out the South Lawn to record the president departing Marine One and walking into the White House had to very quickly scramble once the president was inside. They rushed to the state dining room, and Trump just started talking as soon as the press walked in at 5:50 p.m., so nobody had time to clean the rain off their lenses or even get a good white balance. That's why he's still wearing a coat, and everything has kind of a purple hue, and it's foggy.
That's why he was wearing the coat.
I think he just wears that because he thinks it's slimming. We should, if you know more, let us know. All the lenses have been out in the cold rain for hours before being brought into a room with hot, steamy hamburgers and heat lamp pizza.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Max, bring it home for us.
Okay.
After wait. He did.
I was looking at pictures of Trump in the coat. I got distracted. Okay. After he did his show and tell, the Clemson team came in and ate, and as they ate and gathered to watch him speak at the podium after dinner, the pool fed the tape of the hamburger tables and the president's initial remarks. By 6:21 p.m., everybody had finished eating, and the pool had finished feeding all their tape back, and the Clemson boys were standing around waiting for the president to walk on stage in what I believe is the East Room and give remarks, which he did at 6:47 p.m. We had a live signal for that. I have no idea when the birders would have been delivered, but there was at least a 10-minute window between the press coming into the room to start recording and the team coming into the room to start eating, and about 20 minutes of milling about and eating. I think it's safe to say that it was at least an hour, and if not an hour and a half, from when the burgers left Wendy's to actually being eaten, and probably more for the staff to stack them on silver platters and get the room set up. The press had to come in and set up the president to speak and the team to walk into the room and start picking up the cartons. So there you go. If you have any questions, you know where to find me. Yeah, in the fucking parking garage. Now, let me add to this my own. I've done a little bit of my own deep throating on this.
You've been freelancing on this, Max?
I've been freelancing on this. And you know what I've been thinking about is they ordered like 100 hamburgers. Mm-hmm. And if you go into a McDonald's at dinner rush and you say,
if you ordered 10 hamburgers, it would take a while.
Yeah,
unless
right.
It's super, super duper busy and fast, there's going to be burgers piling up the whole time.
Right. So you have to think about this. They're going to go in and order 100 hamburgers, right? And mm-hmm. The first hamburger is going to sort of hit the plate. And how long until the last one hits the plate? What do you think? A half hour?
It
takes about 3 minutes. It used to take about 3-4 minutes to make a burger.
Let's say due to the advance of modern technology, it takes 1.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's still 100. That's still over an hour. That's even if it's only a minute and a half per burger, which is half the time of when Merlin worked at McDonald's.
That is one magic burger.
That is one magic burger. So you're talking about 2.5 hours. You're talking about 2.5 hours between when the first burger hits the wrapper and the last burger. So now you take this, follow the story of the first burger. It's sitting around for, let's say they are even faster. Let's say it's only sitting around for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And then another hour. You're talking about 2 to 2.5 hour old McDonald's hamburgers.
I'm calling it all of the food is at least 4 hours old.
I think I feel a challenge coming.
No. Why, Merlin? No.
I think we may have to take one for the troops. I think we should get some burgers, wait 2.5 hours, and then test them on the air.
Yes.
We'll just call out the motorcade.
I could contact my dear friend Chef Mike at the McDonald's test kitchen and ask if he would help us with this.
Oh, please do. Please do.
And he's going to bring in some tasty grilled burgers.
We'd have to simulate it. You know, we have the data to simulate this exactly.
Do.
Like, we could be like, we could have a team standing by with a fucking stopwatch. We could go Mythbusters. We could be like, go, get in the car, go.
Yes.
It fucking screeches out.
Oh, I think this is, like I said, I think this is just the beginning. I think now people are going to hit us up on Telegram. They're going to let us know. They're going to hit me up in my secure pigeon box and let us know what else can we do to get to the bottom of the hamburger mystery.
I've always wanted to do that move where you park somewhere really quickly and you sort of like ski, sort of Tokyo drift into the parking space.
Yes.
I've always felt like there should be some reason for me to have to do that at work. And this could be it, is I have I've got the burgers in my car.
You can do it on your skateboard.
The clock is ticking down. It's like, you know, 44 minutes and 59 seconds.
Music and intensifies.
And I fucking Tokyo drift into my parking space.
And you kick a sick ollie.
Probably Jen's car is in there, and I just slam into her car.
Hey, that's my car. Shut up, I'm on a mission.
It's a challenge.
there you go. Follow up.
Yes.
Okay. As you know, Max, tell people how even can they hear the after show? What's the deal with that?
Oh, man, we haven't done this in a while. Do by Friday, you may have noticed from listening to it, we don't really have any ads on this program. And we're out here doing fucking hard-hitting, deep-throat journalism, getting the scoop on the hamburgers that no other podcast has. We're fucking out here reporting on our scoops that we bring to you. And we're not advertising a mattress or a meal kit or a fucking toothbrush with refillable things or a razor company.
They send you a new one every 3 months, just like Dennis tell you to.
Yeah. We're not doing any of that stuff. So you're probably wondering, well, how does Dubai Friday make money? And here's the thing is that you have money and we want your money. And you can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com and you could become a member of the Dubai Friday Patreon for only $5 a month. And you will get, in addition to supporting the show, you will get a free extra episode every week. I don't know why I say free, because you are paying for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You will pay for it and receive.
That's true. It's free once you've paid, that's for
once
sure.
Once you've paid, it's free. That's a good deal.
That's a good
yeah,
deal.
You will get a bonus episode every week, the Dubai Friday After Show, where we plan the next week's challenge. Usually we're pretty sleepy, and we don't care as much what we say. So we say that's where we really say our crazy stuff.
Yeah,
to
that's
find
when
out
gossip
what,
comes
to
out.
Find out what we really think of the MAGA teen, you should subscribe. I mean, we give you a little taste.
First one's free.
This one's free, but if you want to find out what we really think of him,
yeah.
Listen, the full tape available only in the after show will reveal the story.
Giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. Or don't isn't there another don't we have a new alternate URL? Kids with money only, is that right?
Kids with money only.
Oh, is that right? Did we get that? Did somebody get that for us?
Yes. I think it's only kids with money.
Only kids with money.com.
Kids with money only.
Oh, did we get both of them?
Kids with money only.com.
And only kids with money.com. Who, man, people are just scooping up all of these for us. That's very kind. Yeah.
Scoop them, man. Scoop them. And we, you know, we appreciate the support. It helps us do this hard hitting journalism that Necktie Twitter's scared of. Fuck them. Dugga, dugga, dugga. As we learned in last week's, we had an abortive challenge from Max. Max's original challenge in the after show last week was, hey, look, where did you source that wonderful article about self-care in the morning? What was that from?
Oh God, it was something like the like Financial Bureau, and I had to pay for it. I had to put my email address in and my credit card.
Ugh. But you had an excellent TikTok, as they like to say in Necktie Twitter, a TikTok on self-care in the morning from this this person. And one of the things this person does is uses an item that we had not heard about before. This is an item called the Human Charger, made by Valky. And it's basically, it looks like an iPod Nano that you stick in your ears and it shoots light at your ears.
Merlin,
oh my God,
why
you got,
do you
the,
know?
You got
why
this
do you
thing.
Know? Why
I'd
do you
already
know?
Ordered it before
oh, no.
you guys decided that wasn't really the challenge. So I've been going deep with the Human Charger. It shoots light at your ears and that kills your depression.
Oh, good.
It makes you feel better.
All
this
right.
is super quick. This thing is such a piece of shit. It was $200, and it's such a piece of shit. It is a four-quadrant failure. It is so fucking bad. It is so cheap. It is really, really cheap and chintzy, and you got to charge it up with the USB mini, and then you plug in the headphones. But guess what? They aren't headphones. They're earplugs with lights. You can't even listen to audio when you're using it. All you can do is stick these cheap-ass earplugs in your ears, and it shoots light at inside your ears for 12 minutes. And then the whole thing stem to stern is such a shit show. And then, I mean, maybe I should do it more, but...
No,
turns out
no.
I did not reap benefits from this particular item of self-care. Human Charger, we'll put it in show notes.
Oh, political podcast and tech podcast, you can get it all here. Wow.
I gotta do it more because I already do the sad light. I already do the sad light every day. And so maybe I'm already full of all my vitamin D and healthy depression killers.
Are you sure that you were supposed to put it in your ear?
Idiocracy, right? This one goes in your mouth. This one goes in your
did
butt.
Did you feel anything?
No, I set a reminder, as I do, and it had shut itself off automatically. I mean, I don't know what to say. I should have read what it says, but there was a part of me that was thinking, oh, it'd be kind of cool. I could listen to a podcast maybe while it's shining in my ears. I don't know what made me think that. But like, you guys should buy this because it is so stupid. And it's got these little chintzy little headphones with the buds and the light shoots out. I don't know, man. It gets like a 3.2 on Amazon. I checked out Review Meta and it's not too bad. It's not as bad as a lot of this kind of stuff. Do you guys use Review Meta? Have we talked about Review Meta?
I have never heard of this.
Yeah, what's
there's
that?
There are services. What's the well-known one? There's a FakeSpot is a well-known one. If you drop a URL into FakeSpot, it gives you... Actually, you know what? Just for fun, go do this right now. Mm-hmm. Go look up something on Amazon, especially... Oh, how about boner pills? I'm going to search for boner pills on boner pills for men. Okay. Ooh, horny goat weed. And look for one. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, here we go. Lysine with a... Subscript 2, Lysine 2 with royal jelly, most effective natural amplifier for performance, energy, and endurance. Go to something, just copy the URL, new tab, go to reviewmeta.com. Oh, this one's not too bad. This one's not too bad. But look at the magic. Look at FakeSpot's good, but Review Meta is like science.
Okay. Yeah, because FakeSpot gives it an A.
Yeah, this actually did pretty good. But anyway, for anything you're wondering about, go to Review Meta and look at what they break down. They really get in there. And they do stuff like the trend over time, where they unverified purchases, down to people who only post reviews about like a certain brand. It's really, really... Max, I think you would like this. It's very science-y.
I've never taken the time to like verify these reviews. This is kind of blowing my mind.
The example that a lot of people give is something like Bluetooth headphones. That's kind of the poster child for like, it's such a commodity, right? Mm. There's so many Bluetooth headphones on Amazon that it's one of those places where people or companies do plow a lot of resources into getting reviews puffed up. And Amazon has done some things to address this. There, I think it benefits them to not have this all be shitty. But Review Meta and FakeSpot are both really good for this. And there's a browser plugin on iOS, like an extension. So you could just be on an Amazon page and hit it, and it'll look it up for you. It's not perfect, but like if you go, is this really a 4.8 with 7,000 reviews? And sometimes it's shockingly not. That's one to grow on.
Do you ever do this with Wirecutter? I have some opinions about the Wirecutter, and... Oh, really? Fuck that. Oh, I guess their iPhone case picks are never right in any way, shape, or form.
What are you reacting to? What's happening right now?
The you can't see my screen? Oh.
I've been on a tear on three different podcasts about Wirecutter lately.
I first discovered the Wirecutter controversy that you created, or rather, I first discovered...
I was reporting on it, Alex. I'm a reporter. Look at my necktie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you started reporting on the Wirecutter, I was like, oh, I can sort of see that, because for years, you know, you go, and if you're an iPhone case aficionado slash absolutely insane like I am, you go, all right, what do you get? And for the past, like, 4 years, it's been... The Silk iPhone grip case, Kung Fu grip, lightweight protective base, grip slim cover, black tie affair. And it's such a piece of shit, and I don't understand. It is $11.99.
Silk Kung Fu grip. Okay.
And it has an A on FakeSpot and passes most on Review Meta. So.
Oh, yeah, it does fine on Review Meta. Look at that. Yeah. That's natural reviews.
Oh, well.
Yeah, Wirecutter. Did you get the battery boy?
Oh my god, I love my battery boy.
What's your
so
battery
much?
Boy?
Look at this.
Oh, you got the new Apple case, the bulbous
battery case. Bulbous battery.
My thick and curvy.
The new bulbous battery from Apple. Hey, ladies, do you like my bulbous battery?
It looks like it's melting.
Bulbous battery basket.
It's voluptuous. It's a voluptuous case.
I've got a basket of bulbous batteries. The Rubenesque bulbous battery basket.
You know what, Maxo? I don't even need to be charging it. Oh, what's that? Yeah, it charges wirelessly.
It's really smart.
It's smart. His voluptuous smart battery.
No, it actually is smart. I saw maybe Rene Ritchie, somebody was talking about how it works, and it's really smart the way that it knows. Mm-hmm. It takes a very, it's got this matrix of decision making based on what is the level of your phone, what's the battery of the case, or what's the charge of the case, and then what kind of charger are you using? Like how much power is it pushing through?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it seems to intelligently decide how to allocate that. Obviously, like usually, you know, do your phone first. Like if it's plugged in the case, it'll do the phone first and then fill it up. But I got it. I like it. If I left the house more, it would be super useful. I agree with most people that if your phone that you love and will have for 2 years runs out a lot, I think it's a pretty no-brainer purchase. But I still think an external battery is a good way to go just for general. But it's nice. It's nice. It's a little bulbous.
I disagree. I love it. It's perfect. Everyone
it's heavy. It's kind of heavy.
Buy it. Mm-hmm. It is heavy. It's very heavy.
What I remember not liking about this when I used to have one is that when you put it in your pocket, it's like tacky. It has a texture to it, and it kind of grabs your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the other stuff in your pocket, and when you pull it out of your pocket, all this stuff comes out.
Yes.
Reportedly, the white one is very linty.
Mm-hmm. It is. I'm sure you can
linty
see.
Is a good way to put it. Do you guys block a lot of people on Twitter?
Yes.
Yes.
I used to just mute people, and mm-hmm. and I got schooled about that by a friend of the show, Anita. And it's that for, I don't know.
They'll keep arguing, and you won't see it.
Yeah, basically, and like mm-hmm. they'll like bother people in your mentions and things like that. So it's better to sort of, on the one hand, like I really agree with. I think it's the Brandon Waddell tweet where he's like, if you block your enemy, then they get a screenshot of the block and they can post that. And the number one rule of internet combat is never give your enemy content.
For me, it's real simple. If somebody's just being a ding-a-ling unintentionally, I mute them. But if somebody's being a dick clearly on purpose, it's a no-brainer. I do think there's a distinction. There's people out there who just don't have social skills. But hey, here's a heads up. If it's the first time you've ever contacted somebody you don't know, don't be a dick. Even if you didn't mean to be, don't be a dick. Because I don't need that.
There were probably 100 people who replied me about the MAGA teen and were just like, they had a well actually about it, or they wanted to have a conversation with me. And I was in such a bad mood about the whole thing, and seeing his face scared me so much, I just blocked them all. I blocked like 130 people. That's the first time I've ever done that. Just anyone who replied
to
me. Yeah, anyone who replied to me, and they were like, well, I'd love to... You should watch the whole video, or I'd love to show you this thing. And
oh God!
I just blocked just immediately.
I do it more as a pastime. I like when I'm on political Twitter and I go into something and see mentions. I just look for flags and eagles and neckties. Click 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 click. Just for future purposes. Like I saw him once, I didn't like him. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to see MAGA Mom 69 again. Like no, sorry MAGA Mom.
There was one guy who was tweeting at me, and he was like, wow, you're prejudging this teen without knowing the whole thing or whatever.
Wow.
And I was like, what is this? Like, are you getting paid to do PR for him or whatever? And then he was like, no. And then he was like, well, I just think it's blah, blah, blah. It's wrong to judge or online. It's snaps of judgment or whatever. And then I was like, so what is that? This is just a hobby then. You're not getting paid. You don't work for their PR firm. This is just your hobby. And then he kept going, and I was like,
he's reply guy. That's reply guy.
Yeah, he was reply guy. And then he was like, I just think that, well, here, I'll find it. And then I was like,
no.
Oh boy.
I think
God.
I can find it. Let's
no.
see.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, yeah. No, I found it. Oh. So it's a verified Twitter account. Uh-huh. And he goes, and I go, do you work for their PR agency or something? He goes, no, I don't. I'm just trying to spread the truth. Why is it so hard for people to grasp? Watch the video for yourself. You can scroll through my Twitter and look at all the hate I retweeted about him yesterday because I thought he was a racist asshole. And then I just replied, so this is just your hobby then? And he goes, trying to spread truth on both sides in the middle of a seriously problematic divide? Yes, I guess mm-hmm. you can call it a passion project. Is that a terrible thing?
Why are mm-hmm. you engaging with these people?
And then I was just like, have you checked out model trains? That could be a good hobby for you.
Stop. Talking to these people, why?
Damn! And then I blocked him. Now I have the block.
Now people will know who he is because they can search Twitter for the words he used.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should. If you have any thoughts about this guy, you should share them with him on Twitter. and he's still fucking going. I blocked him, but he's still going on here. Look at that. Damn.
Why? I'm just so you have a. the knowledge that Twitter makes you miserable, and I understand.
I don't know, Alex. Don't you do anything that's bad? Don't you do anything that's bad for you, and you can't stop doing it?
No, Alex doesn't. Alex doesn't do anything like that. I don't know what you're talking
Nothing.
About.
Nothing.
Damn. Why aren't I allowed to have one? I live such a fucking healthy, productive life.
Can you're like a monk.
Can't I have one? I am. Like, I don't drink. I don't do drugs.
Well,
like, mostly. And can I have one? Can I have one fucking vice that's self-destructive that makes me want to die?
I'm sorry.
Where I spiral out of control, and it just causes me. I wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat.
Where else would you go to ask the question?
Jesus Christ, guys! I can't have one thing.
I'm really sorry.
There's so many one things you feel like you can't.
So Merlin, that's a two thumbs down, don't buy recommendation on the official Do Buy Friday product guide.
Oh, for the human charger?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's me. I'm like Jakob Nielsen making that face with the thumbs down.
What are you gonna do with it? What are you gonna do with it?
I'm gonna try it again. I mean, it's real.
Are you gonna Marie Kondo it? It was expensive.
It was expensive. You guys are gonna help pay for it though.
Yeah. What if we? Well, I mean, are you gonna keep it long term?
No.
What are you gonna do? You gonna throw it out?
I've used it twice.
What if we do a little giveaway?
And it's been, and my ears are on it too, so they can get my DNA and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that. Sure, I could stick it in a. I accidentally bought two covers for an iPad, and I had to send one back, so I finally have returned something. So I'm really on a. I'm in a groove right now. Dig it. Challenge.
Was it your challenge, Merlin?
It ended up kind of being my challenge, according to that Twitter account. It's my challenge. So
set it up.
Oh, okay.
So, Matt Chrisman, I I'm your sin eater. I watch Saturday Night Live sometimes live. What can I say? I've watched Saturday Night Live my whole life. I've watched it since I was 9 years old, and I like some of it, and I love some of it. And it's actually become a thing with my daughter, where there are certain videos on YouTube of Saturday Night Live that we watch over and over and over. So this has a slightly personal component to me. It's something my kid and I share, are especially like the parody commercials and stuff like that. But anyway, I dropped in some fairly recent sketches last week and made you guys watch them. I think Quinn cannily cut out a lot of it. But I just wanted to make the case for you guys that there is good stuff on Saturday Night Live sometimes. But in particular, I want us to talk about some of our favorite weird sketches, some of our favorite 10-to-1 sketches. Are there things that you could go out and find and share with us? And then basically it came down to, at least for me, I made a short list of a few, and I think we each agreed to pick one that we would play on the show. Does that sound right?
That does. You know, I went into this and I was, my original plan was I was going to pick all of the Mango sketches because I kind of, I don't think SNL generally is very good. Like, I think they're, I see, what I mainly see on like Twitter video or whatever is like, in like Twitter moments tab are those like fucking horrible political sketches where it's like, you know, Alec Baldwin Trump things, which are just so embarrassing.
That is not aged well. The reason those were funny at first was that he was doing a very broad impression and, oh my God, it's Alec Baldwin. So like the first few times he did it, it was funny just because it was Alec Baldwin doing a broad impersonation. It's not aging well over a year into it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
it's actively getting stupid. In the case of the last one, it was actively stupid.
I think we've probably talked about this before, but there's a big difference between an impression and an impersonation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Alex Baldwin is he's doing an impersonation of Trump, but he doesn't have an angle on the guy.
I never remember which is which. It's like comedian and comic. Mm-hmm.
So an impersonation is pretending to be someone, like you're an impersonator. He's like a Trump impersonator. And an impression is like you've got an comedic angle.
Yeah. Yeah, or like in the case of, I'm not sure what you'd call it, but like Dana Carvey, where like he doesn't actually sound like George H.W. Bush, but he captures something about Bush that becomes almost definitive.
Correct.
There's certain kinds of people.
You know, a lot of comedians that talk about the idea of like with an impression, like there's this idea of like breaking an impression. So it takes a while for people to figure out how to break an impression. And like there have been like legendary people like this on SNL who like break it. And once it's broken, like then everybody can do it. So when people do like a Nixon impression.
But look at somebody like James Adomian. He is so invested in every one of those that he does. He's clearly, he's not just going to say stuff like, not going to do it. Like when he does Elon Musk. He's done his research on Elon Musk and is able to like make it so funny and so fucking weird. I fucking love that guy. His Gorka. Oh my God.
Okay. So anyway, I went into this and I was going to pick a bunch of Mango sketches because I was kind of when I think of SNL, I mainly think of that it's like pretty bad and embarrassing and it's like not my thing. But I was fucking shocked how many good SNL sketches that I love that I like was able to easily make a top 10 list. And I picked mainly new ones from the last like
that's what I
six
did
or
too.
7 years.
Wow.
Like I kind of can't believe it. But there is such good shit on SNL. It's just mixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd you do, Alex?
I kind of had the opposite experience. My main take in of SNL when I I'm sorry, I've got what's happening? What Merlin? I know you're not in the same room with us.
I'm not. I'm on a whole other coast. Yeah.
I have no idea. There's food has been presented.
Okay.
To Max.
I forgot to eat and I was getting cranky.
Okay.
That's why I ordered food and I got you a French fries. Oh, that's a whole story. There's not even a story.
So food is how we fix that. Is that the idea?
I guess so. Okay.
Don't worry about
so
it.
When he gets cranky, give him food, Alex.
I guess so. But well, thank you. But I can't eat the French. I can't eat the fries that are French.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
You can't eat French fries?
Well, go listen into the after show. Oh, and there was an this morning was an incident. Oh boy.
So like you had a nut incident?
I did. I had a nut incident.
Were they visible? Were they visible in your leavings?
No. I accidentally ate something with cashews and it's been a morning.
Are you having like a Griffin day?
Well, yeah, but isn't he a downstairs and I'm an upstairs person?
Oh, no, you made barfies?
Oh, God. Since 7 a.m. this morning, I've been trying to just keep down Benadryl. Like, you know how you always have the story what will someone have to write on the emergency room form?
Oh, yeah, I think about it all the time.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not going to use my EpiPen because I typically don't use my EpiPen unless it's like real, real bad. And I think, okay, yep, I'm going to die. And then you're supposed to go to the emergency room afterwards. And I don't want to be the one who's there. I don't want to have to be the person who's dying in the back. And Maddie has to write down, didn't want to use an EpiPen. So basically, I was just...
Reading your medical record, it must be like the last part of a Survivor challenge. Doctor's having trouble with his puzzle.
So
he's figured out she's allergic to cashews, but she's also taking some brain medication on some kind of a fad diet. Having trouble. Coach's got six parts in his puzzle.
Today we're playing for a reward. We've got one EpiPen.
You want to see what you're playing for? Once again, EpiPen's up for grabs.
Oh,
I got nothing for you. Find any that tickled your fancy? Because you're not a regular watcher anyway. You wouldn't know what to look for, probably, right?
There are things that come into, like Max said, I'm like, oh, great, another, look at, it's Kate McKinnon, who I love, being forced to do a sad Hillary Clinton.
Well, I bet, I know I've got some fucking bangers for you, and I'll bet Max does, too.
I did not peanut butter. There are a few, I made like a playlist of 10 that I'll also share, but how do we want to do this? I think I have one that holds up well.
Incomparable draft style.
Oh boy.
Draft style. It's off the board.
Merlin, go. Number one, your pick.
Spider-Man.
Oh, you want me to go first? See, okay, that's a lot of pressure. I'm trying to think of one that you guys will like. Okay. Well, let me ask you one so you've seen. Have you guys seen Wells for Boys?
No, I don't think so.
Thank God. Okay, sending it right now. This is my daughter's favorite.
With Fisher-Price playsets, some kids can be four-star chefs. Some kids can win the race. But some just long to be understood.
Oh, it's me.
Introducing Wells for Sensitive Little Boys from Fisher-Price. Wells for sensitive boys to wish upon, confide in, and reflect by. Some boys live unexamined lives, but this one's heart is full of questions. Just hear how much he loves the well.
You don't want to do the commercial anymore? Okay. Do you want to go watch E2 Moment Ambient? No? Okay, he wants to go back to the well.
He'll enjoy running his little fingers around the edge of the well. On days when he's had too much, he'll lean on it and contemplate his reflection. Some kids like to play. Others just sort of wait for adulthood.
So what is he putting in there?
A secret.
He'll grow up to have a wildly passionate and successful creative life, but not just yet.
Spencer! Spencer! Spencer!
Spencer?
Also, check out other cool new toys for our sensitive boy line, like balconies for when they're ready to announce something, or a shattered mirror to examine the complex contradictions of their being.
That thing's weird. I don't get it.
That's because it's not for you. Because you have everything. Everything is for you. And this one thing is for him.
Wells for Boys by Fisher Price. Don't just give him a Barbie. I mean, it is like that, but that's just part of it.
That's very good.
This is funny. Oh, okay,
that's
okay, sorry.
That's very, very, very good. Oh, I can't believe I've never seen that before.
Oh, my God. It only has... Oh,
it's super well written.
Yeah.
Someone wrote the fuck out of that.
Yeah, it's some of the best ones and the weird ones in the 10, well, not the 10-1 sketches, but especially with the commercial ads, it's the precision of what's in and out of it that's so good. I got another one for you in a minute that's I think very much like that. But yeah, it's super well written and edited. So yeah, that's one. That's why I like the weird ones. And you guys know what I mean by a 10-1 sketch. It's the sketches that they probably weren't going to do, but they're short on time, and they end up at 10 minutes to mm-hmm. one. They put in a sketch that's completely mm-hmm. bananas. Yeah, I got a few of those too. So that's mine. That's my first one.
All right, Alex, first draft pick.
Oh, gosh.
Boom.
Okay. Hold on. Now I'm going to change things up for something that was, I guess, from my childhood, basically. And everybody, I'm sure, has seen it. The Dear Sister, Lonely Island sketch. It's a digital short. I put it on the playlist without even rewatching it.
Hey, man. What you doing?
Nothing. Just writing a letter to my sister.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I haven't seen her in years. It's weird because...
What you say? That you only meant well, of course you did. What you say? That it's all for the best.
That's a play for either of you. Have you seen it? Oh, you know. Okay, that. All right. That makes Merlin. Do you know what this is? I guess somewhat a parody of.
No.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, the OC?
Yeah. The brother goodbye scene?
I don't remember that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We'll figure out how to cut that.
It's still funny. Still love me some Bill Hader,
well,
man.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't understand how people would find that funny if you were not familiar with
now,
the OC.
Did you guys see Barry?
Wow. Yes.
Barry fucking ruled.
No.
You didn't like it?
I mean, I had complicated feelings.
I couldn't believe how good that show was.
Oh, the show? Oh, I thought, no, what's Buried? Have you seen Buried the film?
Barry.
Sorry.
That explains that. Hate it. Hate Bill Hader.
Fuck that guy.
Hate his balance of drama and farce and comedy.
I'm sorry.
What a fucking idiot. Hate Bill Hader.
I have a feeling you guys have seen this, so there's probably no need to play it, but my number one draft pick for personal funniest SNL sketch that makes me laugh the most, Farewell, Mr. Bunting.
Okay.
Do you guys know that one?
Farewell, Mr. Bunting. That sounds...
I don't want to go. I want to go in cold. I might have seen it. Okay. All right.
Sit down! As you all know, Mr. Bunting will no longer be teaching here at Windermere. I sing my song.